Hi, I'm Eric Jansen. You're tuned to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. This week, milk and something cool. We're here for a full hour tonight. Award-winning jazz singer Veronica Klaus graces us with selections from her brand new CD, Something Cool, which she'll present live at the Raz Room next Monday and Tuesday, and with tales from her life in the SF jazz scene. That's during our first half hour. Then in our second half hour here, writer and editor Vince Emery share thoughts and writings of slain gay civil rights leader Harvey Milk. They're from Emery's just-published book, The Harvey Milk Interviews, in his own words. We'll even hear from Milk himself, as Emery's bringing in with him some audio clips of interviews with Milk when Milk was a San Francisco supervisor. First, Something Cool. Jazz singer Veronica Klaus is here live in the KALW studios to share music from her brand-new, just-off-the-presses CD, Something Cool, and to tell us a little bit more about the music she loves so much, which she'll be singing live at the Raz Room this coming Monday and Tuesday. She's garnered many awards over the years, including an SF Weekly Whammy for Best Blues R&B, a Cable Car Award, an SF Bay Guardian Best Chanteuse title, and she had a coveted opening gig for the legendary Ohio Players. She's been our guest on Out in the Bay twice before. Veronica Klaus, welcome back to Out in the Bay.
Thank you, Eric. It's so great to be here tonight.
Now, before I forget, I do want to know, when did you open for the Ohio Players?
That was probably like about 1997, 98, okay. Something like that. I can't
Where?
Quite remember. It was at the old Trocadero.
Uh-huh.
Trocadero, yeah. We had a great time.
That's good. You gotta watch out what you put on your website. People may actually ask you about it. So we're going to start right off with a song. And you were just telling me before we went on the air that this is the first time this has been played on the air anywhere.
This is the first time it's been played on the air anywhere. I just got him in my hot little hands 2 days ago, and I'm so very excited. Very excited.
Okay, so this is Veronica Klaus, Old Devil Moon, from her new CD, Something Cool.
I look at you, and suddenly something in your eyes I see soon begins bewitching me. Oh, it's that old devil moon that you stole from the sky. It's that old devil moon in your eyes. You and your glance makes that romance hard to handle. Stars in the night shining their light can't hold a candle to your razzle dazzle. You know you've got me searching high and wide. I'm on a magic carpet ride full of butterflies. It's that old devil moon in your eyes. Just when I think I'm free, free as a dove. Oh, devil moon, there in your eyes, blinds me with love. This romance too hard to handle. Stars in the night shining the light can't hold a candle. Turn your razzle dazzle. You know you got me searching high and wide. I'm on a magic carpet ride. I think I'm free, free as a dove. You know it blinds me with love, blinds me with love, blinds me with love, blinds me with love. I'll never know there in your eyes.
That was Veronica Klaus singing Old Devil Moon from her brand new CD, Something Cool. Veronica Klaus is here in the studio with us. Tell us about this music, Veronica. What do you love about this particular song, the Old Devil Moon?
This song, I love the lush sort of romantic feeling of it. It's a song that a friend of mine, it's funny how songs, they grow on you when they hit you at certain times of your life. Maybe they don't click, you know, immediately. A friend of mine recommended this song and said, hey, why don't, and I've known it, and they said, why don't you think about this song? And this was years ago, and we did it once at a show, and it was okay, and I just, you know, but it didn't work really well for me for some reason. And then later, it's a song that I came back to, and I was like, oh, yeah, now I get it.
Mm-hmm. Was there something about, you know just the lyrics and how your life had changed that made it more pertinent to you? Or
I don't really know. I don't know why. It just, there were things about it that I just, they didn't click, and then all of a sudden they just do. And now it's one of my favorites, so.
What attracted you to this type of music, this style? When you were a college student in Illinois, or even before that, when were you first exposed to these jazz standards?
I've listened to a lot of different people over the years, but I have to say the first sort of direction, the first person that pointed me to them was Bette Midler, you know? She, on her first few albums, she did basically cabaret shows. And she did Skylark and things like that and mixed them with rock and R&B and ballads. And, you know, but so she her set lists, for instance, were sort of a research guides, you know, and each song would sort of take you in a whole direction if you sort of reached back and researched those. Each song was a whole different genre or a whole other mood or, you know, style. And so I started listening to Etta James, for instance, you know, the early ballads on Chess Records, and from there started listening to jazz and Jimmy Scott and Etta Jones and Nancy Wilson and all that kind of thing. So it was a branching out, you know, sort of organic kind of journey to discover it.
And you've been in San Francisco now for since 1986, according
86,
to websites.
Uh-huh.
So that's 25 years or something like that.
Something
26
like
years
that.
Almost. How difficult was it to get into the jazz scene here, to the music scene, to actually get to the point where you're like a regularly performing, paid performer?
Well, It's difficult. I mean, it's not easy because, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, getting good musicians, finding good musicians and musicians who are willing to work with you, put in some time, all that kind of thing. And, you know, you just have to keep at it because it takes a while to get into, to develop an audience. You have to play out and play out and play out and to get an audience that will come to see you, because if people won't come to see you, then places don't book you. And, you know, it's
and there's fewer places now. I mean,
absolutely.
Enrico's closed a couple. Was it
absolutely.
Last year?
Yeah, we were at Enrico's every week for 2 years almost, and they closed. But we're really excited to be at the Raz Room now. Doing our CD releases. We've been doing many shows over there the last couple of years, and it's a great space and wonderful, wonderful place to see music. And I'll be there on Monday and Tuesday with Tammy Hall and her quartet. Tammy Hall's the piano player that I've been working with for many years, and she is absolutely incredible, and I could not have done this project without her. She's phenomenal.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guest is Veronica Klaus, and she's got a brand new CD, just arrived 2 days ago. It's called Something Cool, and we're going to hear another track now, which is Hunter Gets Captured by the Game.
Every day things change, and the world puts on a brand new face. Certain things rearrange, and this old world seems like a brand new place. Secretly, I've been trailing you, yeah, like a fox that preys on a rabbit. I had to get you, and so I knew, yeah, had to learn your ways and habits. Oh, you were the catch that I was after. And I looked up, and I was in your arms, and it seems I got captured. Oh, baby, what's this whole world coming to? Things just ain't the same, no, no. Anytime the hunter gets captured by the game.
That's Veronica Klaus with the Tammy L. Hall Quartet singing The Hunter Gets Captured by the Game, right?
Yeah, that's a song that the Marvelettes did in the 60s, Motown, written by Smokey Robinson. And lots and lots of people have covered this. It's one of those songs that sort of has sort of a thread of kind of odd lineage from the Marvelettes to Ella Fitzgerald to Blondie to Grace Jones. They've all covered it, and we're thrilled to have it on this CD.
Yeah, and I was sorry to have to fade down during that solo, that trumpet solo. I guess it was a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the same group of musicians that you'll be with on Monday and Tuesday night?
Yes, all the same musicians, all my best players. I'm very excited. Daniel Fabricant, who I've been working with for a very long time, also.
He's practically chained to the Raz Room. He's always playing bass.
Yes, he is. He's on bass. Kent Bryson, a really great tight drummer, is going to be with us. And Mike Olmos, a really fantastic trumpet and flugelhorn player.
Mm-hmm. You're tuned to Out in the Bay on KALW 91.7 FM. It's KALW's May Membership Drive, and Veronica Klaus has brought with her as her gift several copies of her new CD, Something Cool. It's yours for joining KALW as a new member or renewing your membership at a level of $70 or more. Online at KALW.org or by calling 800-525-9917. That's toll-free, 800-KALW-917. And she has autographed, while these songs are playing, she's taking out this lovely gold sparkly pen and autographing a few of these. So if you want an autographed copy, just four of them, you've got to be one of the first four people to call in or go online and get one. Personally signed by Veronica, be one of the first four. Again, you can do it online at KALW.org or by phoning 800-KALW-917, KALW-917. If you enjoy Out in the Bay and KALW's commitment to diversity and programming, where else do you hear queer radio every week? nowhere else in the Bay Area. That's right. So show your support now during our show. We'd appreciate it very much. KALW.org or 1-800-525-9917. See, you can hear the pen there. She's signing another one. Veronica, your website has a reference to the romance and heartbreak of becoming an artist. See, there's another one.
Yes. You've
got, what's that about? It's on your website, so now I'm going to ask you about it.
I think that... you know, any sort of expression that is, you know, it's when you're happy songs by themselves are not, they don't do anything for me anyway. I don't know how to sing a purely happy song. I mean, life is the mixture of the good and the bad and the way you get over the bad stuff and the way you get through it. And, you know, I think to, you know, make a true expression of any sort of life experience, it's got to have all that stuff.
You know, it's funny. I was actually just talking to Mark Freeman today.
Uh-huh.
Mark Freeman, folks, is the he was a former nurse at the Tom Waddell Clinic, and he's just in the finishing phases of just putting the finishing touches on a new documentary called Transgender Tuesdays, a clinic in the Tenderloin. And it's a documentary which
I
just found out Veronica is narrating.
Yes.
So I was a little surprised because he told me, he asked me like, oh, can I get on your show and talk about my film? And then my roommate in his transgender issues class at SF State brought the card home, and there was your photo on the back of Mark's card.
Yes, I'm so excited to be part of this production. Transgender Tuesdays is a documentary of the first... public health program of its kind for transgender individuals that was started about, I don't know, 1992 or something like that,
that
I
sounds
think.
Sounds about right. I think that's
about
what
right.
I read on the website today, yeah.
And because before that, the resources for transgender people were abysmal. And unless you had a lot of money for insurance or private doctors and that kind of thing, there was nothing available. And It was bad. So they started a clinic, and it was every Tuesday night. And I was fortunate enough to be sort of in the know or in the loop and to hear about it. And it was where I went to, very early in my transition to get really quality medical care.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thrilled to be lending a hand to narrate the film. And also to tell a little bit of my story, too.
Yeah, there's a clip on the website, which is the main one, first one you see, that is talking, you're describing how going to a clinic where some doctor, I mean, not obviously the Tom Waddell Clinic,
not
some
Tom
other
Waddell.
Doctor
this
who was like, oh, we can reuse a syringe, it's not really that dirty.
And yeah, like I told you, the options were abysmal before Tom Waddell came around if you didn't have private insurance or... you know, resources like that. I tell a little bit about how that was before the clinic, and I'm just thrilled to be part of it. And they're trying to raise money, too, to finish the film editing and all that. And they're going to be in San Francisco Frameline, the Gay Film Festival.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's very exciting.
There's a rumor about the date, but...
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the date
entirely
is.
Entirely sure, but it'll be in the Frameline.
But it's called Transgender Tuesdays at Frameline Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. So
and
I'm
the
sure
reason I brought that up, or what I thought it was because you mentioned this... Mark told me today on the phone that, you know, even though some of this film is kind of bleak, he said, you lighten it up, Veronica, with your song at the dark end of the street, which exactly a cheery song. But
I forgot about that was going to be it. Yes, I'm so thrilled to also have a song from one of my, the last CD before this one called Live at the Lodge in the soundtrack of the film also. So that's really, really great.
So let's get back to some more music. We are going to now hear Somebody Touched Me. You want to say anything about that before we play it?
This is an old Ruth Brown, early R&B, 1950s Ruth Brown song from Atlantic Records that I just fell in love with many, 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 many years ago and thrilled to have it on this CD.
Okay, Somebody Touched Me from Something Cool, Veronica Klaus's new CD.
Somebody touched me in the dark last night. Somebody touched me in the dark last night. Somebody moved me with all his might, thrilled my soul with his warm delight. Oh, 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 in the dark last night. Last night a stranger just held my hand. Last night a stranger just held my hand. Last night a stranger held my hand. He said I'd be your lover man. Oh, 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 he just held my hand.
That is Somebody Touched Me, Veronica Klaus singing there with the Tammy Hall
Quartet. And if you go to if you go to YouTube, you can see the HD video of the studio when we recorded that song live. If you look for Veronica Klaus, Somebody Touched Me. And also, just to let you know, we're going to have HD tracks, high definition format of this CD available too, and the video will be on that.
Okay,
yeah,
and that's, you mean in at the Razz Room shows?
It'll be available at the Razz Room, but yeah, I know, it's sort of a new format. I don't know that much about it, but I'm excited to be on the forefront. You know, there's not too many times when I feel like I'm really on the edge. So,
a reminder: Veronica Klaus will be at the Razz Room next Monday and Tuesday night, the 21st and 22nd of May, with her playing songs from her new CD, Something Cool. It's a CD release concert, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get the CD right now. First of all, let me give you some information. If you want to get information about those shows, go to Veronica Klaus's website, which is veronicaklaus.net, not .com, .net, N-E-T, and it's Klaus's with a K, K-L-A-U-S, veronicaklaus.net. Get information on the show. If you want a signed, autographed copy of these brand new CDs, which just came out 2 days ago, nobody else has them yet. Become a member right now of KALW at the $70 level, or, you know, renew your membership, and you'll be supporting Out in the Bay at the same time as supporting KALW and Veronica Klaus. So please do that by calling 800-525-9917. That's 800-KALW-917, or go online to KALW.org and let us know if you want the autographed copy of the CD.
Yes.
Thanks so much. You know, we don't have a whole lot of time left, and there's one more song that you want to play because it's one of your favorites, I believe. And
which one's
that? This is the...
I forget.
Just Squeeze Me, right?
Oh, yeah. Love
Just
that
Squeeze
one.
Me, which is lots of fun, and I hope we can play the whole thing, but let's give it a shot. Just Squeeze Me from Veronica Klaus's new CD, Something Cool.
Can't wait to see you at the Razz Room. Treat me sweet and gentle when you say goodnight. Don't tease me, baby, just squeeze me. I get sentimental when you hold me tight. Don't tease me, baby, just squeeze me. Missing your sensual went away, singing the blues every day, counting the nights waiting for you. I'm in the mood to let you know, I never knew I loved you so. Please say you love me too. When I get that feeling, I'm in ecstasy.
Don't tease me, just squeeze me. Treat me sweet, sweet and gentle. When you say goodnight, don't tease me, just squeeze me. I get so sentimental. Just squeeze me. Oh, I'm missing you, singing the blues. Oh, I'm waiting for you. I'm in a mood I never knew. Please say you love me too. When I get that feeling, I'm in ecstasy. Don't tease me, just squeeze me.
And unfortunately, we have to fade that one down a little bit, too. But this is the amazing Tammy Hall playing piano there with Veronica Klaus singing.
Yes.
And she has also a concert coming up at the Raz Room on May 27th. It's a
yes.
Sunday, so you can see the Tammy Hall. In this case, it's she's a trio. Right?
You know, I'm not quite sure how many people are on it, but it's Tammy L. Hall and One World. And it's Tammy Hall's solo show with guests. And it's going to be an amazing night. She is an incredible piano player, and she's doing some original compositions for that show. And she's also, as we speak, most likely, recording her next CD also. So lots of exciting things coming up. And you can go to www.therazroom.com.
Yeah, it's funny spelling. Raz, R-R-A-Z-Z, double R, double Z.
Therazroom.com for information on Tammy's show on May 27th and also for Veronica Klaus with the Tammy Hall Quartet on May 21st and 22nd.
Yes, thank you so much, Veronica Klaus, for coming in to share something cool with us.
You are very welcome.
I'm looking forward to the show. Veronica Klaus will be appearing at the Raz Room, as he just said, this coming Monday and Tuesday nights, May 21st and 22nd. Learn more about that and hear more of Veronica's music on her website, veronicaklaus.net. Veronica Klaus with a K dot net. You can hear she's got a couple of other samples on her on her website, which I think are pretty fantastic too. Check out Black Diamond Days. She came from the mining town?
Yeah, that was a song I wrote about Gillespie, Illinois, my hometown, the home of Black Diamond Days, the original festival of coal. Yes.
Out in the Bay is independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. Thanks to tonight's engineer Joanne Marr and to Coldwell Banker residential realtor Catherine Holland, a big Out in the Bay supporter. She may be queer, but she'll get your deal straight. Catherine Holland. Don't go away, though. There's another half hour of Out in the Bay coming right up with writer and editor Vince Emery. He'll share thoughts and writings from Harvey Milk contained in his new book, The Harvey Milk Interviews in His Own Words. And we'll have some audio clips from Harvey himself. That is coming right up, so stay with us. And as Veronica Klaus leaves and Vince Emery comes into the studios, please take this minute or two as we rearrange ourselves here to call in or go online to support KLW and Out in the Bay. You can still get Veronica's CD for a donation of $70, just $20 over the basic membership rate, and I'm pretty sure there's at least one autographed CD left, online at kalw.org, kalw.org, or by phoning 800-525-9917. That's right, even if you're hearing the rebroadcast or on podcast, you can still support KLW. Thank you so much, and Vince Emery will be in shortly. Stay tuned. Thank you.
This is 91.7 KALW San Francisco. Out in the Bay continues in a few seconds. This Way Out, normally heard at this time, is preempted so we can bring you this special one-hour edition of Out in the Bay. This Way Out returns next Thursday evening at 7:30. In the meantime, we still have a few seconds left to ask for your pledges of support to show your appreciation for Eric Jansen, Marilyn Pittman, and Out in the Bay. The phone number to call, 800-525-9917, 800-KALW. 917 or pledge online, KALW.org. That's KALW.org. For a pledge of $70, you can get Veronica Klaus's brand new CD, hot off the presses, Something Cool. That's yours for a pledge of $70, an autographed copy of Veronica Klaus's most recent CD, Something Cool. We'd like to thank Thomas Cochran, who just made a pledge, and he's going to get Veronica Klaus's autographed copy of Something Cool. Thanks for your pledge, Thomas. And he says he loves Out in the Bay. If you enjoy listening to Out in the Bay, we're asking you to support this program as well. 800-525-9917, 800-KALW-917, or pledge online, KALW.org. That's KALW.org.
Welcome back to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. Our lives, our voices. I'm Eric Jansen, and our second half hour tonight, the Harvey Milk interviews in his own words. It's a new book, just hit the bookshelves this month, just in time for California's third official annual observance of Harvey Milk Day, I believe, next Tuesday, May 22nd, Harvey's birthday. He would have been 82. The Harvey Milk Interviews is the first book in which Milk explains his life, struggles, strategies, and dreams in his own words. The book provides the texts of 39 interviews Milk made for newspapers, radio, and television, showing how Milk and especially his political philosophies and strategies changed and developed over time. None of the contents of the Harvey Milk Interviews has ever been published in a book before. It's edited by writer, editor, and producer Vince Emery, who joins us here now. Vince Emery, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Well, hey, Eric. Thanks.
Why did you, Vince, why did you set out on this project?
It's something that I kind of fell into. I wanted to learn more about Harvey Milk. And, of course, I'd seen the wonderful, deeply moving documentary film, The Times of Harvey Milk. And I'd read Randy Schultz's biography, The Mayor of Castro Street. And much to my surprise, there really wasn't anything else in depth about Harvey. And from other projects I'd done, I'd worked with the San Francisco History Center, and that is where Harvey's papers are. And the people there knew me, and so I started taking a look through the papers and got the idea to put a book out of his collected interviews, which, because Harvey loved to talk, and he was a great talker. He was funny, he was confrontational, he was always surprising and entertaining. And so I got the idea of digging up enough of them and putting them together to make a book that tells the story of Harvey's political career in his own words.
And besides having a lot of interviews, 39 interviews, it also has a chronology of his life, which you said you haven't seen published anywhere else before. Is that right?
Well, I had to do it because I needed to figure out what order to put the interviews in. And so there are loose, very undetailed chronologies, but this is the first one that was detailed. And Schultz's book, which is a wonderful, stirring book. I highly recommend reading the Mayor of Castro Street for anybody who has not done it. It's a wonderful biography. And Harvey's life, just, it couldn't have been scripted. I mean, the movie Milk stuck to the facts pretty much, and it makes for great drama, and it's true. But he doesn't have a lot of dates in his book.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went through my copy and highlighted all the specific dates and was surprised by how few they were. So I, again, had to do research, digging through Harvey's papers, reading his letters that are in his papers to find dates, going through newspaper articles. One of the things that was really helpful in his ultra busy last year of his life when he was elected supervisor, his calendar book for his last year of his life is actually in his papers. So I was able to go through that and use that to create the chronology that's in here.
And so have a guide for how you assembled all the things in this book.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have some favorite writings or interviews in this book? Are there some gems that particularly stick out as indicative of Milk's thinking at various high points or turning points in his life?
Well, some of them are different favorite ones. One of my favorite one is one that I thought it was really well written and entertaining to read, and it's a reporter from the San Francisco Chronicle followed Harvey as when he was campaigning in one of his losing campaigns, as it turned out, but a whole day of his campaigning. And he was locally famous at the time. He would get up at 6 in the morning and be at bus stops to shake hands of people waiting for the bus to go to work. And he'd keep going till very late at night, just day after day on campaigning. And so she followed him around. And so we have this portrait of what it's like for Harvey on a day of campaigning. And the woman who, the reporter who did it, later on turned out to be a famous writer herself, Julie Smith. She stopped writing as a reporter and wrote mystery novels and won the Edgar Award.
Oh, really? Okay. So another Edgar Award winner in your life.
<That's>
I
right.
should say that Vince Emery was not on the Out on the Bay before, but Mike Weiss, who wrote the book Double Play about the assassinations of Moscone and Milk, he was on last September, and that's a book that that you published, that Vince Emery published.
That's right.
And that book won the Edgar Award for Best True Crime Novel. Is that right?
True Crime of the Year.
Yeah.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
as the Edgar Award winner.
Yeah. So let's see. Now, you have brought in some audio, and I think that we want to play a couple of those audio clips now. This is Harvey Milk himself on tape, and the first one is Milk. Now, who is he being interviewed by here?
Well, that's an interesting thing. This is one of the... I talked about searching for things. This is one of the Indiana Jones, Vince Emery being Indiana Jones in quest of these lost treasures. I read a newspaper article that a television program that was started on Viacom and now was running on Comcast was stopping production after having been made in the 70s. It was called Viewpoint, and they had interviews with different San Francisco politicians. And I thought, wow, well, if they're shutting this down, they've been going since the 70s, maybe they've got an interview with Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the people at Comcast, who were very, very helpful, and a producer there spent a good amount of time. So what had happened is they did save their old tapes. That was the good news. The bad news is they just threw them in a storeroom, literally.
So there were idea what is what,
no
and
labels,
who is, yeah,
no,
okay.
I mean, on boxes.
So you have to listen
stacks.
To it and see, oh, there, well, now I recognize
in.
Harvey Milk's voice.
I couldn't, but this producer very kindly spent a huge amount of time looking through these tapes, heaps, boxes of videotapes, and then he reported back to me that he couldn't find it. He was sorry, and he try again in a couple of weeks to look again. And he went back in again a couple of weeks later and looked through more of the heaps and mounds and gave up. And on his way out the door, he noticed there was a little stack next to the door.
Oh,
and
dear.
There he found the tape.
Wow, amazing.
And so this is Harvey being interviewed by Jerry Burns. Jerry Burns was the city editor of the San Francisco Chronicle. And an interesting thing is that Danny Nicoletta, who was Harvey's employee at his camera store, told me that one of his duties was answering the phone and that there were two people who would always get put through to Harvey right away no matter what the circumstances were. One was Jerry Burns and the other was Jim Jones, who was the
right
man who had the People's Temple and later... You know,
why
had...
Jim Jones?
Well, Jim Jones' organization, his church was very effective at turning out large numbers of members of the church at political events. So for demonstrations, or if they wanted an audience, a big audience at an event to attract media attention, the candidates that Jones supported would have this huge turnout. And they also got people out to vote. So he was very powerful politically, mm-hmm, on a local level.
So we're going to hear this clip now. And this is Milk talking about how he got the Board of Supervisors to pass his human rights ordinance forbidding discrimination based on sexual orientation. And he's been interviewed by, at the time, the Chronicle city editor.
Right.
You said Jerry Berg?
Jerry Burns.
Burns.
Jerry Burns.
Could a law like this have been adopted a year ago, even in San Francisco?
Well,
or 5 years ago, say.
Less than a year ago, a similar ordinance was submitted to the Board of Supervisors and stayed in committee. So I think
so this time it passed 10 to 1. What happened?
Well, a couple things.
Politically, what has changed
Harvey
in
Milk.
The city? Well, that's modest enough.
I mean, it's always hard to say that, but I'm there. And, you know, like, I'm a supervisor. When the mayor was out of the state, I was acting mayor. In essence, I ran the city, you know, for 2 days. The next day, I could have gone to, example, the Macy's, applied for a job, and they could have refused to hire me solely because I was gay. I could have walked into the St. Francis Hotel. They could have refused to give me a room solely because I'm gay. It doesn't make sense. And so, in essence, Harvey Milk and what Harvey Milk stands for, I think, changed.
Well, there were 10 votes this time in favor of the ordinance.
Right.
Harvey Milk is one vote. What convinced the other nine? Is the gay voting strength in this town now that strong that the other nine saw that this is something that enough voters want that they voted for?
Not, I don't think it's strictly that. I think that's part of it. There's no question there are some people on the Board of Supervisors, and all politicians do count votes of the constituents. But I think it's a coming of age. It's a significance. It's an education process that has been taken for a long time. It's pressures coming to bear from church leaders, other legislators on different levels, business people saying, you know, it's time. And I think it was just a maturing of age as well, maybe even more so than the voting bloc pressure.
Well, there were some objections. Supervisor Dan White voted against it. And some of the things he said, I think, ought to be raised and,
sure.
and answered. He said, for example, his constituents were concerned, he said, that this would, for example, force private schools and parochial schools in the city to hire gay teachers.
No,
when they wouldn't want to. Is that accurate? Was he wrong?
It doesn't force you to hire. It says that you can't discriminate on those grounds. And all we're saying, basically, is that if a person is qualified to teach, that's the only ground you should hire or refuse to hire. The arguments that Supervisor White brought forth and his constituents are the same type of arguments that we heard generations ago about black people, before that about Jews, before that about Irish, and so forth. And history has proven that those arguments have basically come out of fear and myths. And once those minorities were accepted into the mainstream, they became assets. I think we can see the same thing. Also, I think Supervisor White did something that many legislators do, and that is follow the will of the constituents rather than show leadership. And that's why I think some of the other supervisors who equally had pressure by constituents not to vote for it, they chose the route of leadership rather than a popular vote.
That is Harvey Milk speaking in, must have been 1978, with...
March 30th, 1978.
Thank you. Vince Emery is here with me. You're tuned to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. And the new book is called The Harvey Milk Interviews in His Own Words. It's a compilation of 39 interviews Milk made for newspapers, radio, and television. And this particular one, this is a televised interview, it is included in this book. The text from this is included in the book, The Harvey Milk Interviews, which is a thank you gift if you join KALW at the $90 level during this half hour. Anytime tonight, anytime you hear this broadcast, you can still join online at KALW.org or by calling 800-525-9917. We're going to play another clip very shortly it's a little bit later. Before I do that, though, I want to ask you a little bit more about this next clip we're going to hear is where Milk talks about being perceived as a figurehead for the whole gay political movement and
right.
as a role model. Is this from the same interview or is
this is the same interview about 5 minutes later. And he talks here about the fact that he didn't want to be seen as all of the gay movement, that he was part of it, And the other thing, that something that was very important to him, you can hear the emotion in his voice, which is the fact that he would be seen as a role model for young gay troubled people. Something that was very, very close to him emotionally and very important to him.
Do you feel, you obviously feel that Harvey Milk in public office makes a difference, that you give credibility to the whole gay movement, certainly
no.
the great gay political movement. Well, you just said the gay ordinance is the result of your being in office. I wonder whether you feel any responsibility. Do you feel constrained in your own personal lifestyle because of the responsibility heaped on your shoulders?
Okay,
now?
First, let me correct you. I'm not responsible for everything or a spokesperson for the whole movement. I represent a lot of people, a lot of people's views, a lot of gay people didn't vote for me, and a lot will next time. There's no way that anybody could represent a whole movement. I said the Harvey Milk and what he symbolizes, there's a big difference. I just happen to be the person. I do accept a lot of responsibility to a point where I don't go over 55. I don't even want a traffic ticket. I'm super careful. And I know that a lot of people, both bigots and young gay people, are looking at me for two different reasons. The young gay people for hope that I do a good job, and the bigots hoping I foul up so they can jump on me. So I'm quite careful. I'm not perfect. I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. And I know it's going to happen sooner or later. But I do accept that responsibility. I knew it ahead of time. I knew what it was going to be like. When you get a letter from a person in Southwest Africa asking for hope, when you get a phone call from a 17-year-old child in a small town in Minnesota who is handicapped and whose parents found out that he's gay and wanted to commit him to an asylum, and you become his lifeline, then you know you've got to do a good job. But that's not so awesome as it sounds. It's just something I knew would happen.
That's Harvey Milk from March of 1978. And the transcript of that interview is included in this book, The Harvey Milk Interviews, in his own words. I'm here with the editor and publisher, Vince Emery. You're listening to Out in the Bay. We're going to... Vince has convinced me that we should read a part of a Briggs Milk debate, John Briggs,
right,
being the guy who wanted to outlaw homosexual teachers. That's the Briggs Initiative, and this is what year is this?
Well, this is again. This is 1978. This is September, and this is the Harvey Milk and State Senator John Briggs, who created the Briggs Initiative, Proposition 6. Which not only banned people who were homosexual from teaching, it also people who were just accused of being gay or people who supported rights for gays. So it was a horrible, horrible thing, a horrible amendment that when it was first announced had like a 60% chance of passing. 60% of the voters in California polled said they would vote for it. And by the time that November election day came, it actually was defeated 40 to 60.
Yeah, and you think, wow, that was defeated. And then, you know, what year was it that we had? Prop 8. But even though, yeah, it's like, wow, how could we lose that so many years later?
Well,
let's go ahead and read this thing.
What we're going to do here for fun is Eric is going to be Harvey Milk, and I am going to be John Briggs. And I want to say that the things coming out of my mouth here are nothing, I believe.
Yeah, we fought over who got to play John Briggs because we both thought it would be so much fun. So you go ahead.
All right.
So, go ahead, John Briggs.
So here we go. Let me tell you what Proposition 6 does not do. It does not deny you the right to be a supervisor. It does not deny anybody in this room to have a job. It does not deny...
Yes, it does. It denies people the right to teach.
Hold on a minute. There's no teachers in this room.
But we don't know.
It does not deny anybody the right to a job. It does not deny anybody the right to rent or buy a house. All it does is say that parents have the ultimate right as to who is going to teach their children.
Okay. You see, based on that, now based... Wait, on that ultimate right, at one time, parents didn't want blacks to teach. At one time, they didn't want women to teach. You know, the old Bible says women shouldn't be teachers in the Old Testament. At one time, because parents are locked in, they're afraid of something different. They're afraid of change because of fears and myths put into their heads. A mistake in some quarters that you don't choose homosexuality, like you don't choose blue eyes. We're saying that a gay person should have the right to say, I am a gay that is part of society, period, no more.
In the classroom? In the classroom?
In the classroom, out of the classroom, because it is a part of society.
But not in the classroom, or...
Why?
Because we don't allow prostitutes to do that in the classroom. We don't allow dope addicts, we don't allow thieves, and we don't allow alcoholics. Why? Because that's considered to be immoral. What's wrong with a man being an alcoholic?
So anyway, there we go.
So it gives you little bit of the flavor of these two guys having at each other. The book does include transcripts of three Briggs Milks debates.
This one goes on for quite a ways. Yeah, it's pretty... here's another little section here. Not too long, an Asian couldn't own property in San Francisco. Not too long ago, we put Japanese Americans in jails. Anyway, yeah, it's very passionate and
entertaining. Reedy. Well,
yeah.
It's Harvey. He was an entertaining guy. He just loved showbiz all his life. He worked on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Now that's another thing I found actually quite fascinating about this book. There's this chronology in the beginning that talks about his. You said the nine lives of Harvey Milk is what I think you call it.
Right.
Could you sort of briefly go through those sections of his life, those little periods? I mean, he was a deep-sea diver.
Be glad to. Well, I mean, what first started out is his grandfather owned the largest department store on Long Island. And so he started out, he probably worked in his grandfather's store, but then his father had retail shops. So he worked there when he was a kid, actually all the way part-time as an adult. Then after graduating college with a degree in teaching, because he felt really strongly about the need to defeat communists in Korea, he enlisted in the U.S. Navy and went to officer's training school. And during the end of the Korean War and afterwards, he was lieutenant junior grade, and he was first a deep-sea diving officer. Now, this is not scuba diving. These are the guys who wear the big bulky suits and the metal helmets and have the long air hoses and go down to deeper depths. I mean, he was trained in submarine rescue.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then he became a deep-sea diving instructor. And then when he got out of the Navy, he became a high school math teacher for a couple of years and then left that to become an actuarial statistician. Thank you.
It's hard to say that one.
It is. Good tongue twister, especially with actuarial in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
For an insurance company, which gave him a really good income, so he and his lover lived the high life in Manhattan. Then he left that for something even more lucrative. He became a securities research analyst for Bache & Company, one of the biggest firms, and worked on Wall Street and in Dallas, Texas, its Dallas, Texas branch office for a while. But then he got a lover who was involved with, as a friend, with a man named Tom O'Horgan, who was the top director of off-Broadway plays at the time, and then moved to Broadway. I mean, he's responsible for Hair and Jesus Christ Superstar, the play Lenny, which was about the comedian Lenny Bruce. And then Harvey worked on all those, and Harvey was actually associate producer of one that you probably haven't heard of called Inner City. Kind of like the other three, instead of being a big hit, it was a big flop. And then Harvey left New York and came to San Francisco, where he'd first been stationed for 6 months when he was in the Navy. And then he and his lover, Scott Smith, opened up Castro Camera, the camera store, and he became a camera store owner. He's always loved taking pictures. The shop was financed in part by a $1,000 loan from Tom O'Horgan, the play director.
Uh-huh, okay.
Who remained a close friend of Harvey's all through his life.
So he was doing fine until he got into the arts, and then after that, politics.
Yeah, after that, politics.
Okay. I just want for a moment, how does a half an hour go so fast? I just don't understand it. Do you have any other little tidbits you want to mention before we close out here?
Well, I'll throw in two quick things. How much time do we have?
Oh, about 3 minutes.
3 minutes. The first thing I want to do is something that there are a lot of myths about Harvey's life and things that aren't quite accurate. And one of the ones that surprises me that people still buy. When Time Magazine in 1999, they did the issue of the 100 most important heroes of the 20th century and named Harvey as one of the 100 most important people of the 20th century. And The article on that, though, said that Harvey Milk, as a legislature, had said he sponsored only two laws. And one was San Francisco's human rights ordinance that prohibits discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. And the other was a pooper scooper law. And the amazing thing is, okay, that was wrong. It was how awfully wrong. And dozens of writers have picked that up and said Harvey only did these two things. So I've got a whole 20 pages of nine-point type in here listing Harvey's legislative activities, some of which had...
Just 1 year on the...
Less than a year on the board of supervisors. And some of which went on to have very important consequences with things like apartheid in South Africa. And the other thing that's kind of fun is Harvey acted... He acted in plays in New York, and he acted in at least two movies that I was able to find out.
Mm-hmm.
He always was... Loved the spotlight.
Yes, indeed he did. That says Vince Emery, editor of the Harvey Milk Interviews, in his own words. It's just come out. It is your thank you gift if you choose to support KALW at the level of $90 or more. And by the way, I mentioned earlier the Mike Weiss book, Double Play, The Hidden Passions Between the Double Assassination of George Moscone and Harvey Milk. And Vince Emery has kindly brought in several copies of that book as well. So you can have either of these two books. It was very popular last September. It's a great written. I can't believe how much I learned about San Francisco politics with this truly a true crime thriller about a true crime, unfortunately, but a great riveting read. So either of those books are available for a donation of $90. You can get both of them for $170. You can do that online at kalw.org, online kalw.org, or by phoning 800-KALW-917. That's 800-525-9917. Quickly, I want to ask you, Dashiell Hammett. You're like, you've got all these Dashiell Hammett books.
Yes, yes. I've published several books by and about Dashiell Hammett.
Because you're just fascinated with him, or?
Oh, that's a long, entertaining story. But yeah, I am.
When that Dashiell Hammett book comes out, you got one in the works for next year, right?
I do have a Dashiell Hammett book in the works.
And you can learn more about Vince Emery's books on his website, emerybooks.com.
That's right.
Right?
Emerybooksplural.com.
Emerybooks.com. Thank you so much. I want to thank...
You're welcome, Eric.
Vince Emery, editor of the Harvey Milk Interviews, in his own words. You can learn more about the book and Vince's many other books online at emerybooks.com. And you can get the Harvey Milk Interviews or Double Play by Mike Weiss about the Moscone Milk murders for a pledge of $90 to KALW, or both books for $170. Join or renew online at kalw.org or by phoning 800-525-9917. Thanks also to Veronica Klaus, who is here during our first half hour tonight. Her new CD, Something Cool, is also a thank you gift, $70, just $20 more than the basic membership rate. You can see Veronica Klaus in concert at the Raz Room this coming Monday and Tuesday nights. Info at veronicaklaus.net. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. If you missed part of this broadcast, you can hear the whole thing on our website, Out in the Bay.com, where you can also sign up for free podcasts and get the Stitcher app. That's right, Stitcher, that lets you hear radio programs on mobile devices. I want to thank WY Enterprises for maintaining our website, outinthebay.com. Services for your life and your business, wyenterprises.com. Our theme music was composed and performed by San Francisco musician Holly Ann Mead. Learn more about her on her blog, hollymead.tumblr.com. We'd love to hear from you with segment suggestions, general comments, and questions. So write to us, Eric at outinthebay.com and Marilyn at outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening and for pledging online at klw.org or by phoning 800-525-9917. Good night.